This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I don't love you, baby, I tell you. When Frank was red, hey, Frank Poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
Back with you on 590 The Fan, Martin and Charlie going until 1 today. Frank is on a personal assignment today. He'll be with us tomorrow. We're going to be at the Schnucks in Fenton on 141. It's Graboid Bluffs. Going to be there tomorrow from 10 until 1. Billikens with their finals this week. Kids don't play a game until Sunday, but it's tough when they're at Houston. And right now, the Cougars are 8-0. They're in the top 25. That's next. Right now, we'll talk basketball. Corey Tate, assistant coach over at St. Louis U, joining us. Corey, how are you?
All is well. How you guys doing?
We are doing great. Let's talk a little bit about your team right now. 6-2. We know the Saluki game didn't go well, but you guys bounced back, got the win the other day against Oregon State. A lot of expectations. How have you guys handled that? Because I know Coach keeps telling us, hey, we haven't even played great yet. We haven't put it all together yet. One of these days we will. Yet, for the most part, you're winning games. How do you assess the first eight?
Well, I got to correct you a little bit. We're 7-2.
7-2. Oh, my gosh.
We got to have every win we can get.
Well, let's see. Which one wasn't I counting here? Let's see. Okay, that one I didn't count. All right, 7-2. Start over.
There you go. There you go. No, to be honest, all is well. I think we got a bunch of guys that they just built on winning. They really want to win. And they bought into Coach Ford's system and the things he's asking of those guys. And I think, you know, as long as they stay together and they try, you know, to do those things, I think we'll be okay. And like Coach said, these guys haven't even played the best they can play. They got a lot of basketball in them.
And Coach, what do you need to do to get to that next level, to play at a higher level, to be a true tournament team, a team that can win the A-10? What do you think's missing right now? What's that next step?
I just think the guys need to relax and on offense. And once we relax on offense and start scoring points, you know, the way, you know, the coaches, and we all know these guys can, and they start scoring points within the system and learning the system, I think that's when we'll take that next step. Obviously, you know, we've been winning games because of our defense, and he's just a tough group right here. These guys are just tough-minded, you know, so we can make mistakes like turn the ball over, you know, missing free throws because, you know, it's pretty much like our three chances to your one. So that's a good odd.
I got to ask you, you're on the bench there. Travis Ford was a great free throw shooter. How much does it kill him when these guys, I mean, it was 15 for 32 the other day, could have put the Beavers away. How much does it kill Coach because he was such a great free throw shooter?
Well, you know, Coach approached the game totally different than most basketball players would, you know, because, and I think that's a great thing because he don't put himself in these guys' shoes, you know, because obviously if he did that, it would kill him. Like, you got, you know, he don't even bring himself up. You know, he's so modest but and humble. I just think, you know, Coach, it's a mental deal, and Coach don't like messing with these guys' mental. You know, he just want to make sure that, you know, they have repetition and they continue to do it and believe and have confidence, you know, in that it's going to go in. And don't show bad body language. I think if you look at our guys, sometimes when our guys go up there with confidence, you know, with pride, knowing they're going to knock it down, we hit the shot. But when our guys go up there thinking, well, we don't know if we're going to make it or not, you know, so that's just a mental game that comes along with free throws.
And Coach, if you had to break it down, how much of that do you think is mental versus physical? I'm guessing during practice you guys shoot a ton of free throws. You probably document the percentages even in practice. I'm guessing I've seen that happen before. Are guys making many more free throws when they're taking them, obviously, in practice with no pressure, as opposed to when they're in the game and everything counts?
Absolutely. That's what I was about to say. Like, the mental part kicks in when the pressure is at stake. You know, when you have more pressure on you and you have things that, you know, what you can lose, you know, like you can lose the game when the pressure is so high. So the guys get tighter. But, you know, they just got to go and play the game of basketball. And, you know, the wins and everything else will come, will follow them. So that's what we talk to them about. Like, listen, you make free throws every day. Just get up there and make the free throws like you normally would.
And, Coach, you have a big road game coming up on Sunday at 24th-ranked Houston. We'll get to that in a second. But first, just the home court advantage at Shea Fitz. You guys are undefeated there this year. And it really seemed like Coach Ford was trying to get people excited, get the fans, get the students going for your game against Oregon State. And that has certainly, early in the season so far, been a nice home court advantage for you guys.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate all the fans and all the support that we get. I think when Coach Ford first hired me, I think that was one of the first things he told me. He was like, man, I need you to help me get this facility rocking and get this program up, you know, get everybody in the community interested in SU basketball again. And not that they wasn't before, but it was just, we want to get it back to when they was in the top 10 and they was packing the house every night. And that's one of the things he always stressed on. And so I know that means a lot to him. And that's what, you know, I strive for every day, to try to help get the right product, you know, on this team that can, you know, that these guys can have people support.
Well, you got Uri Collins coming next year, St. Mary's kid, Cartier, freshman from Webster. You got Jordan Goodwin, Hargrove's coming from East St. Louis. You certainly have been able to get the local kids in the last couple of years to stay. Is part of the selling point, too, that that building, when it's full, it's a special place, and these kids now, their friends, their family, can come see them play? I mean, how are you getting them to stay home?
I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons. You know, yeah, obviously, you know, you want to let them know you're going to play in a great environment. You know, that's one of the reasons. Then another reason, you know, we got to give them something to stay home for. And I think these guys understand that, you know, coming to SLU, you know, I don't think this many kids stayed home, you know, at SLU, I won't say ever, but in a long time. So I just want to sell them on, hey, man, you can be close to your family, your friends. You know, you're going to be coached by one of the best coaches in the country. You're going to be treated, you're going to get a, you know, the ultimate experience when it comes to education. You know, you get a degree from, you know, St. Louis University, you know, that's going to carry on for life. You know, so you just sell them on points, you know, not so much basketball, because, you know, if you're a basketball player, no matter what, these guys know they can go anywhere and play basketball, you know.
And, Coach, I'm trying to go back and think about the timing of all these commitments, but do you think if you guys continue to get all these local kids, could we look back and say that maybe a Jordan Goodwin 2 or 3 years ago committing, that that kind of started it, and maybe Cartier Gordon doesn't go to SLU if Jordan Goodwin doesn't, and all of a sudden you're getting more and more after that?
I mean, no doubt about it. Jordan Goodwin is the trailblazer for all this. You know, he is the beginning. If without Jordan Goodwin stand and committing to St. Louis University, I can see, because, you know, they don't have anybody they can relate to. Without any doubt in my mind, I know that, you know, this program wouldn't be, you know, going up if Jordan Gooden don't stay home and, you know, decide that, you know, this is where he want to, you know, play and use this as his stepping stone. And because I know you won't get Hassan. You know, it's just a lot of people that, you know, everybody fell in place once Jordan Gooden committed.
Corey Tate with us, Billiken men's basketball assistant coach. They're playing at Houston. Charlie, I don't know if you said 6-2. They're 7-2.
No, you said that, actually, just so we have that on the record.
SLU is 7-2 heading to Houston this Sunday. Corey, you played down at Mizzou. How much of Norm is in your coaching style, and how much did your relationship with Norm change from player and then when you became an adult and a coach yourself?
Okay, let me answer that question separately. Okay, how much of Norm's style is in me? Zero. You know, you want to know, and there's a reason why. I mean, basketball has changed, and these kids' minds are too fragile to even have to be able to handle any kind of coaching like that. They just couldn't handle it. I've been doing this for a long time, and that's night and day. That's why you see a thousands of kids transferring, you know. So they wouldn't be able to handle, you know, that type, that style of coaching. But so, I love it. I mean, tell me, I mean, if we could coach like that, you know, obviously he's very successful, so you would emulate that. But, you know, we can't coach like that. So that's one thing. And then how has our relationship evolved? I mean, well, I never had a bad relationship with Coach. I mean, he always, you know, was a it was always a learning experience, and he learned, he taught me so much that to this day, you know, I'm continuing to learn about life and use the things that he installed in me. So, you know, it was always great to, you know, learn under him or to be one of his players because, I mean, he knew the game. He knew how to motivate you, and he knew the mental part about it. He knew how to, when things was tough, he knew how to get you to believe that, hey, if you stick to what you've been doing, things are going to get better. So, I mean, coaches, you know, he's one of the best for a reason.
And, Corey, everybody obviously hopes you guys win the Atlantic 10 tournament and get that automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. But I'm wondering, if that's not the case and you're a bubble-type team, how important is a game coming up at a ranked opponent? You know, at the end of the year, all the teams on the bubble, they show the resumes, the good wins, the bad losses. If you're able to get a win at 24th ranked Houston, do you try to stress that at all? I mean, the kids know it's an important game, but I mean, it's a really big one for the resume.
I mean, that's for the coaches to worry about. You know, you never put that type of pressure on kids. You never, I mean, obviously they know we plan this tough schedule for a reason, but you never put that type of pressure on kids. You just tell them it's 40 minutes and against another opponent, we got another opportunity to get ourselves closer to, you know, to the NCAA tournament. So, but we don't do that. You know, coach don't do that, but he just have a way of letting them know, hey, this, you know, these guys are pretty good and we got to be on our A game. And I think these guys, you know, they play to their competition, the level of their competition. And if you guys have seen it, you know, our guys will, you know, step up.
Played at Seton Hall, took on Pitt, hosted Butler, hosted Oregon State, going to Houston, got a Florida State game coming up. That's all before Atlantic 10 play. Billiken certainly trying to get those resume builders. Corey Tate, our guest, looking really dapper the other day. Well, every day, mm-hmm. I should say. And also, I think, probably down a couple pounds. Is there an actual number to attach to it?
Man, actually, I'm down a couple of pounds. I was at one point like 85, but, you know,
wow.
The season kicked on. But, hey, it's an everyday struggle. Got to continue to work at it. And eventually, I get back into that playing shape. That probably never happened, but yeah, that's the goal, you know, to get to the player shape. So, but, you know, just, you know, always trying to look your best, feel your best, so you can be your best. That's what I tell the guys.
Hey, Coach, thanks for hopping on, and good luck this Sunday at Houston.
Hey, thank you guys for having me anytime. Appreciate you guys.
All right. You too, thanks.
Corey Tate, former Pattonville Pirate, played at Mizzou and also then coached at Mineral Area. What did I say? Three Rivers? I think that's one in Michigan, you said?
There's a good JUCO in Michigan, I believe, called Three Rivers. Good hoops
he
program.
He was at Mineral Area. He played there before he went to Mizzou, then coached there for a while. Was on the Kim Anderson staff for about a year, then made a strategic career move and joined Travis at SLU. I think that worked out pretty well. Appreciate him hopping on. If you want to text into this show, it's the Winning Streak text line. And Winning Streak, we were there a couple of weeks ago over in Dupo, Illinois. It's not just outfitting your team. You can do it for the office as well if you want those polos that are monogrammed. Every once in a while, Frank has a really cool-looking Channel 5 outfit, and we're like, where did you get that? He had it made at Winning Streak. It's not from the station. He actually had it made over at Winning Streak. They sponsor the text line at 855-282-8255, the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Maryville brings you the listener line at 855-282-8255, maryville.edu for more information. If you think about it, there isn't a Duke or a Kansas on there, but for an Atlantic 10 team, if you can say we played Florida State, Houston, Oregon State, Butler, Pitt, Seton Hall, that's a pretty good collection of non-conference names. We're not talking all top 10, top 20 opponents, but that's a good collection of, instead of playing the Prairie View A&Ms over and over again.
Oh, and it's absolutely strategic. I remember 12 years ago, Tom Izzo, when I was working in Lansing, saying that scheduling has become almost, not as important, but almost as important as recruiting in the sense of just strategically scheduling games to improve your RPI so at the end of the year when they have the resumes and you're on the bubble that you can have those wins. And again, a lot of it is, hey, we want to play a road game, but maybe if you schedule road games against against mid-level RPI teams, not the elite teams where you lose those games. There's a lot that goes into that. By the way, Three Rivers, there is a Three Rivers Community College in Missouri. There's also a Three Rivers Michigan.
Three Rivers is the Gene Best school that Frank went down and did the story, right? The coach is real strict. He's been there. Three Rivers, also a successful smaller program.
There's also Three Rivers Stadium, which is where the Pirates and Steelers
Thank
used to
you.
Play.
Here's what we should
That's
do.
That's what I meant. Corey, did you used to coach the Steelers? It's bad enough. I took a win away from these guys.
Here's the deal.
Excuse me, we're 7-2. I'm like, yeah, but in my KenPom ratings, I didn't count that one game against, you know, Lockers.
From now on, we do a 3-hour show. We should just do the first 2 hours. Then we'll spend the final hour correcting our own mistakes.
Because we do in the noon hour, we make corrections during the end of the day.
Yes.
From 12:50 to 1 o'clock.
Hour.
But now we sort of need daily corrections.
But truthfully, man, we're all getting old. I don't feel old, but sometimes I can't remember things. And I wonder, is something going on in my head or is this normal? You know, you ever have that where you can't remember somebody's name, you can't remember a college.
Did I bet the over or the under?
Did I bet the over or the under?
I think this is a symptom of your gambling problem. Because you're worried about William and Mary Lacrosse covering, then you can't remember other things. Like, your brain is just chock full right now of Australian rules football over-unders.
Honey, did you feed the baby? Like, oh, I can't remember. I was too focused on the Penn baseball game.
Correct.
False narrative.
Not
Father
really.
Of the year.
According to...
This morning.
You?
Woke the baby up, gave her the bottle,
Are
better
you
the food.
To wake the baby? I thought you just waited for the baby to wake up on its own.
No, I usually wait until the baby cries.
Oh, that's fair. I would do that.
She gets up. She likes to kind of just play a little bit. She talks. She does the baby babbles. She's having fun. She's happy. So I feel like once she cries, that is the signal. That's the bat signal. Daddy, come get me. Am I wrong on that?
No, I would. No, I think
wouldn't you do that?
That's fair.
Okay,
think you just reinvented the wheel. I think when the kid cries,
you're trying to make me feel bad.
No, when the kid cries, you
no. But listen, I'm
don't
sure.
Poke him and wake him up.
Okay, that's my point. I was always told, don't try to make a content baby happy.
You said wake the baby. I thought like you like walked in there like as the baby was sleeping in the crib. And
I do that sometimes at night just because I want to hold her.
Oh,
that so bad? No, but my point is, are there some parents that would say? No, you should go up there before the baby starts crying, right? Are there parents that would say that?
Probably.
My point is, I'll wait until the first cry because I want to get a couple more minutes of sleep.
Fair.
And check fantasy football.
First cry coming up at 11:40 here on 590 The Fan. All right, here's the Hall of Fame list of guys who got money to leave. Okay. We mentioned this because Troy Tulowitzki got $38 million.
Can we guess?
So I have the baseball list and then I have the sports list.
Are there coaches on it?
There are coaches.
All Charlie clubs, Weiss.
So
Charlie
what if Weiss. We do just baseball first? The all-time, here's money. It's recent years where you're done, but you get all this money.
Pablo Sandoval.
I was going to say, a couple Red Sox recently.
Yeah, Hanley Ramirez.
Sandoval is number two.
Okay.
This is according to Darren Revelle, who crunches the numbers.
Who has me blocked on Twitter.
What did he walk away with? About 60?
So the Red 50? Sox owed him $48.6
million. That was 48. A bad deal from day one.
Was that post Theo?
Yeah, that deal never made sense.
But he, so Fat Panda, what is it?
Kung Fu Panda.
Okay. Kung Fu Panda.
48.6 million. Tulowitzki is third on the list with that 38 million.
Won?
How about the Tigers had to eat Prince Fielder's 30 million?
How about Adrian Gonzalez? Is he on that list?
No. Bobby Bonilla is fifth.
That but doesn't count, though.
It's got the asterisk because they owed him $29.8 million, but he gets $1 million a year for 30 years, which is the smartest move ever.
Didn't Prince Fielder, though, have the weird neck injury?
Yes.
Where I'm sure, and again, I'm not ingrained with the CBA and all that, but I feel like if you have
insurance, I think pays a little
yes,
bit.
If you have a career-ending type injury, I think that's different in terms of the payroll.
What if they had a policy for this guy just sucks? You know, like take out
a suck policy.
Yeah, we're a little concerned.
Red Cecil.
All right, number one, he was with the Angels.
Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton,
$68 million at the end of the deal, not the end of the day. $68 million to go home. Well, you guys are really hurting my feelings. You don't believe in me anymore. We still owe you $68 million. Okay.
I hate to say this, and I don't mean to be mean by saying this, but knowing Josh Hamilton's struggles earlier in life, which are very well documented, but then he had this incredible story coming back, home run derby, hitting a million homers at Yankee Stadium, had the great years. Didn't he win an MVP?
Yeah.
Won an MVP, but still I think it would be hard to write that check for a huge number for a guy like that, knowing his past.
And I remember there were concerns about that, not so much in terms of what if he relapses, but more so, you know, those that takes a toll on your body, and it probably causes your body to break down physically sooner than someone who hadn't gone through those years of drug abuse. And I think the Angels caught that a little bit.
Non-baseball, NBA.
Latrell Sprewell. Wasn't there something weird there with his deal?
Yeah.
He had to feed his family, and he turned down like a $40 million deal.
Didn't he say $80 million can't feed his family, something like
so
that?
So it was an obscene amount of money.
All right, this guy no one liked to play cards.
Gilbert Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah. Also liked to pull guns on his teammates.
Correct.
Sometimes. That was, you know, the Blues think that they have, you know, practice problems.
That's what the Blues should have said. Now, listen, guys, we had a practice fight. It happens. You see what Gilbert Arenas did?
He pulled a gun out.
Gilbert Arenas got $63 million at the end from the Magic to go away.
Oh, God, I forgot he was in Orlando.
How about our boy Charlie Weiss? And this isn't the Kansas money, the Notre Dame money to leave. Do you remember the number? To leave Notre Dame.
I feel like they gave him a 10-year deal when he had that run with the Brady Quinn, Jeff Samardzija team. And then once those guys left, they were basically immediately bad, and they wanted to fire him right off the bat.
Who was supposed to be the next big thing?
No.
Jimmy. He was the number one recruit.
Jimmy Clausen. Yeah, that's he hitched his saddle to Jimmy Clausen, and that he went down.
This is when you know that Jimmy Clausen was not a good quarterback, and we'll look up this story. Do you remember he got punched at a bar in South Bend, and nobody did anything about it? Like, you know, when you're the quarterback at Notre Dame, which is just football heaven, and your star quarterback gets punched and nobody really cares, that's when you know you're not a good quarterback.
That's the sign. Charlie Weiss got $19 million from Notre Dame. Darren Williams, former Illini star. How about that, Plowsy? The Nets gave him $18 million to go away.
Probably smart on the Nets part.
Wow.
He had a good career, though, for
a
while.
Had a great career, absolutely.
Chauncey Billups, Chuck's guy, got $14 million from the Knicks.
That's not that bad, though.
No. That's the list, buddy.
In the NBA, too. For a while there, the NBA, their problem was that, like, the 13th guy on the bench was making $9 million a year.
That's still happening, though. How much is Tristan Thompson getting from Cleveland this
year? But now the elites are making 40.
Right, yeah.
That's the difference.
Let's talk about it. Hollywood Casino Press Box, maybe a little bit of business here. Some of our great sponsors on the show.
Dr. Michael Jones, 1-866-260-EYES. For any eye care issues, give him a call at Quantum Vision Centers. He's also a associate professor over at St. Louis University. And, of course, the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. Frank couldn't eat for 24 hours. Maybe after his little thing, he goes to the Gatesworth. His mom goes somewhere else because she's never there and he wants to eat.
He's going to be pretty hungry.
Yes, he is going to be pretty hungry.
Get some room.
Finest in senior living, 170 and Del Mar, I believe. TheGatesworth.com.
Question.
Yes, answer.
And, again, we're not talking about what Frank is having done here. But I'm just wondering. We're just going to talk about it so much that everybody knows exactly what it is.
You're going to clear things out. You're going to go ahead.
So afterwards, does he have to like eat applesauce for a while or what? What's the rule?
I don't think so. I think he can eat whatever he wants.
He sort of went on a food bender last week. He went from Spiro's on Friday.
How is that different than a normal week?
Well, but he went from Spiro's on Friday, Frank Papa's on Saturday, to Fleming's on Sunday. I'm like, good God. Is there any food at his house? I mean, he eats out all the time.
What's fantastic was he told a story to where his brother has been calling him, and they've been, like the scouting report of steak places around the area, been going to scout steaks and see how chefs make it and see what sides come up. How would you like that job? Just your brother's like, hey, you want to go? I guess I'll go out and have a steak and see how.
Because I have an almost 11-month-old baby, we have a lot of
she
baby
eats
food.
Steak as well.
We have a lot of baby food around the house.
You're fertile. We get it.
And so I'm going to bring in some baby food for Frank tomorrow for his recovery.
Some Gerber?
A little Gerber. We have a puree, man. We pureed ourselves.
Ooh,
when
really
I say we,
your, we get it. You have electricity.
When I say we, I mean my wife does
yeah,
all
I could
of
not
it.
See Charlie putting on the apron, getting all the bottles and everything
hey.
In order.
She can't eat solid food yet?
I mix it up. No, she eats solid food.
Your wife?
Everybody does, man. Otis, the dog.
All right, we're going live to Philly next hour, which is right about now. It's 11 o'clock here, 590 The Fan. Charlie will have the temperature when we come back. We'll talk a little baseball, a little free agency. Hollywood Casino Press Box here on 590 The Fan.